In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Watch out. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And the alternate reading is the leaven of the Herodians, a.k.a. the Sadducees. Following the feeding of the 4,000, the Pharisees came and began to argue with Jesus, seeking yet another sign, this time one from heaven, as if feeding the 4,000 were not miracle enough, as if they could have pulled off the 4,000 on their own. The miracle regarding earthly things was not sufficiently impressive. This is how they approached God in general, that they on their own could approach God as a near equal and without fear and trepidation, without acknowledging that they were sinful and had every right or privilege to stand before God and demonstrate how good and deserving they were. Not surprisingly, Jesus went into the boat and left. Isaiah writes that the house of Jacob, chapter 58, they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the judgment of their God. They delight to draw near to God, but essentially everything they do is backwards or upside down. Use the situation from, in some cases, yesterday's reading of the Pharisee and the tax collector, the publican in the temple. The Pharisee draws near and stands proud before God and says, I thank you that I am not like the rest, the hoi polloi, the unrighteous, the adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I tithe. It's I. As if to say, I am able to stand before you, God, because I am self-righteous. This is at least a part of what Jesus warns about the leaven of the Pharisees, self-righteousness before God. This Pharisee says, in effect, I have no need of God. Not acknowledging God results in drawing away from God in contempt and self-security, and this is pride. Drawing away from God, according to the Old Testament metaphor for apostasy, Dr. Just wrote, is idolatry and adultery. The Pharisee is an idol to himself. The contrast between the Pharisee and the tax collector is marked. The Pharisee is proud of himself. The tax collector is ashamed. The first, because he recognizes no sin in himself and stands right up to God. The second, recognizes his sin and acts in humility, not raising his eyes and beating his chest as a sign of unworthiness. The tax collector believes himself deficient. The Pharisee believes himself sufficient. In our reading, to get back to it, is Jesus saying that the Pharisees seek no help, no need for help, no need to call on the name of the Lord, no need to ask for anything? I assume so. I believe so. Is he directing the disciples in the boat to consider, in regard to the lack of bread with them in the boat, that they should resolve these things by calling on the Lord who is in the boat with them? The same Lord that solved the food problem for 5,000 and 4,000 plus women and children. I believe so. The same Lord who could just as easily solve a food problem for the whole world, but rather who, using the long view and the right view, has accepted the mission to solve a problem of salvation for the whole world, which is the better thing. Would you think that the Lord is guiding the disciples to call on God for help in humility as the tax collector, and not as a Pharisee, and not just regarding bread? I think you would. I have heard whole sermons on how a bit of leaven will affect 100 times its weight. It rises, seeming all out of proportion to itself, Well, the leaven of the Pharisee is a metaphor for self-righteousness, and it will have its effects too, all out of proportion to itself and not good at all, not useful at all. I think we can agree that their leaven leads, at the least, to an inflated head, and that leaven, most importantly, leads away from God. But we ought not to despise or to hate the Pharisee, and I am now speaking to you of the one living in your town, your church, your house, or even in you, because then we have, in doing that, shown how we are also a Pharisee ourselves, saying, I am not like this other guy, as if we in our own pride can accuse and condemn. Rather, we should pray for and have mercy, and perhaps we would witness of God's grace to us through Jesus Christ, so that one of today's Pharisee can become a publican. Do not immediately presume that you are all like the publican, the tax collector, so humble in faith. Plenty of churchgoers look down on other sinners as if they were not sinners themselves. At this point, the preacher can provide a long list of examples and counterexamples as part of his illustration, but I don't have time for that. For the list could be so long and inclusive as to put the finger on each one of us if not more than once. But okay, one example. I and another person this past Tuesday listened to a man telling how he looked down on a young woman, a co-worker, who smoked a cigarette in front of him. He thought she was a little out there, and she even had tattoos, and he thought she is a great sinner and not worth much. That was until she invited him to attend church with her family. Then he knew that he had condemned another sinner while he himself was also a sinner and couldn't see it for the beam in his eye. We are sinners, surely. We ought to be like the tax collector. We ought to come humbly into the Lord's house and confess our sins so that we can remain here before God, forgiven by him. Otherwise, how do you think you can stand before him? And then, forgiven, we hear God's word directly from the readings. God talks to us, we listen, we can believe that the Lord is good. God's word as written by St. Paul in 1 Corinthians concerning faith. What have you that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if it were not a gift? This place, this seminary, has the possibility to engender pride in faith among you, for us to say we are not like those others in our congregations or on the street, but we are like them, sinners also. The difference is we are not like those others in all respects, because although we are sinners, we are forgiven by God through Jesus Christ, who is with us. His righteousness given to us, not derived out of ourselves. He was with the disciples in the boat. He provides all that is needful. He was ready to provide more that day in both a spiritual and earthly manner. His creation was graded as good and very good in 7 days and given to the 12 tribes as his chosen people. The Messiah came and announced the new Israel in his blood. He came before the Father only because that was won by Jesus Christ, the Son, and given by the Holy Spirit and received through faith. We giggle sometimes that the disciples don't always get what Jesus is saying and that Jesus is God. From the readings, it's always clear that's the benefit to us in our age. However, the Pharisees heard much of what Jesus taught, and they never got it or believed it. Whom do you humbly rely on? in whose boat are you, and who is in the boat to care for you to life everlasting? All things needful are provided by Jesus Christ to those who believe him. They are given out with love, and their goal is forgiveness of sins and salvation for eternity. 8 verses after our reading, Jesus asks, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered, "You are the Christ," in his own holy name. Amen.